guys, welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is my co-host from thebabybroad.com, Erica Latham.
Hey, Mama.
Hey.
It's been forever.
Do you like my deep, sultry voice from my cold?
When you called me earlier, I was like, hello, sir.
I know.
Where is Kelly?
I'm sorry, everybody. It's the cold that never ends.
You've been sick for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming up on 10 days.
Oof.
But we're getting
there. All right, well, at least it's not bitterly cold and you're having a blizzard. Are you having a blizzard?
Oh, yeah. Aren't you guys too, or no?
We're on the cusp because it's coming up the coast and we're kind of farther inland, I suppose.
We're on the coast, but, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is blizzarding outside right now. I'm looking out the window.
As we speak. Yeah, what are you going to get? I think we're getting like 4 to 6 inches, but you're supposed to get like dumped on, right?
Yeah, like 10 to 12.
Yes.
Thank God for the snowblower.
And Andy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to do anything. I don't know what I'm complaining about. When I'm not pregnant, usually I'm like a little kid. It's like a snow day. I get to go skiing. I don't have to clean it up. It's very exciting. It's very exciting stuff.
All right. Well,
yeah. So I'm trying to think back a few weeks ago, maybe a month now, we did an episode about our most embarrassing anxiety moments.
So, I love that episode.
Yeah, that's a fun one. But today we thought we'd do an episode kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, sharing moments where we thought we would definitely panic, but didn't.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we kind of alluded to that in that episode. Like, right. So on one hand, you thought you'd be okay, and then you totally panicked, and you ended up fine anyway. You just kind of get through it.
Yep.
And then here, it's like, objectively, this is something where anybody would lose their mind.
And I didn't.
They would totally panic, and you were cool as a cucumber. Yeah.
So or moral cool-ish. Of the story is, cool-ish. Yeah, that's I think that's fair. Cool-ish.
Uh-huh.
Decent. C+.
Yeah. You made it. You survived. Right.
Yeah. And I think I like that because I think the moral is either way, we're both okay. You know, you're okay. Either way.
We're okay.
We're okay.
That should be the new slogan of the show.
Either way, you're okay.
Either way, you're okay. Yeah. Did I tell you about how my therapist one time said, I forget what I said to her, and she said, Erica, you're like 50 shades of okay. I'm like, oh, okay.
Like, that sounds nice. Thanks, Jill. Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Nice. That's what I'm going to call my book.
Ooh.
Anyway.
That is a great title.
I know. Trademark.
Copyright. No one can steal it. Okay. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't count. All right. Yeah. So.
So you volunteered to go first.
I did voluntold to go first.
Voluntold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we both probably have a million of these. Like the time, you know, if you're in a business meeting, you just know you're not prepared, or, you know, school, and you just know that you're going to get called on and you think you're going to freak out and then you just sort of end up fine.
Yeah.
But you and I have two kind of like main examples. And I know I've talked about this on the show before, but about a year ago when I went to Europe, the last day or 2 days before I left Spain, I rented a car, and that's always exciting. You know, it's a stick shift and I love a stick shift. I'm on the Mediterranean. I'm with my best friend. I'm like, you know, this is like living my best life, right?
Living it up. Yeah. Living your best life. Yeah.
Living my damn best life. So I got the car because I had dropped off my cousin who was traveling with me at the airport. She was traveling back to Ireland a couple days before I was. So I get the car while I drop her off at the airport. I'm pumped. I'm by myself. I have the sunroof open. I'm like living it up. I go back to my hotel. I park. I ask the hotel where to park because I park on the street. I don't speak Spanish, by the way. So I'm asking them things. They speak a little bit of English. I understand them-ish, you know. So I park. I go up and I get dressed. I get dressed in this fabulous outfit. You know, I'm like living my Spanish life. I come back out and there's these guys sitting at this little cafe outside table with an umbrella. And they see me coming and they're all kind of looking at me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, fellas. look at this girl. I'm wearing heels. I've got my big hair out, you know, and I'm like, because I've got some big hair girls. And I'm walking down this little avenue toward my car, and these guys are all looking at me, and I'm like, that's right. That's right. And I get to where my car was, and I'm hitting the alarm, like, you know, waiting for it to, like, pink, you know.
Beep, beep.
Where are you? Yeah. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And I'm like, I swear to God, I parked right here. So I'm, like, walking kind of in circles. You know when you just know you parked there, and you just walk around where you knew you parked, like it's going to reappear?
Yeah.
Like you say Beetlejuice three times? And it's, like, the shroud of where my car was. So I Google Translate. I have, like, a tiny bit of data left. And I Google Translate, you know, so sorry, has anyone seen, there was a car here, swear, there was a car here, has anybody seen this? And this guy starts, like, gesticulating to me wildly, and he's, like, you know, and I have no idea what he's saying, so he drags me over to where the car was, you know, spoiler alert, and he points to the ground, and there's a sticker, and it just says, it's a picture of a car being towed away, and apparently, in Spanish, it says, hey, dummy, you parked in a no parking zone, move, you know, we took your car. So I have to go back into the hotel. I'm Google translating, like, my car was towed. You told me where to park. What do I do? And they're like, oh no, we didn't tell you to park there. We told you not to park there. And, here's where to go. You know, and they gave me a written note, with an address, gave it to a cab. The cab took me there, shaking his head the whole time. I get to this, it turns out it's a jail/tow yard. So I'm like in the Spanish jail. I'm too embarrassed to tell my best friend who speaks fluent Spanish, PS, like she could have helped me at all points here. I'm too embarrassed to tell her, like, I'm, you know, I'm in jail. And no one in the jail speaks English at all. So I'm hysterically laughing, like, this is absurd. Like, I'm in another country. I'm going to have to pay €1 million. I'm probably going to be arrested. They want my passport and my license. I'm about to be, like, hashtag taken, like Liam Neeson style. I'm like, none of this is okay. I'm now sweating. My hair is deflated, you know, and I'm in heels, like, running around the streets of Spain. And anyway, it turned out, for some reason, I mean, I was sweating because I was hot, but I was so calm. Like, I can't explain. Yeah. This would be enough to put anybody over the edge. Like, what do I do?
In a foreign country.
In a foreign country. What if I run out of money? What if, you know, I'm arrested for some reason? What do I do? And no one knows where I am because I didn't tell, you know, my friend. And, you know, how do I get my car? What if I can't get my car back and they don't let me on the plane? Like, all these things could have gone through my mind. And the whole time I'm like, this is going to be the best story I've ever told. I mean, right now it might not be the best story I've ever told. I need a glass of wine and a lot of swear words, but it was like just funny. You know, I'm in this little jail and the lady who's trying to explain to me, and she's waving her arms and I'm screaming like that's going to help, you know, so they start laughing. And then I'm trying to Google Translate, like, I don't know why I'm yelling at you, like you can understand English, you know. She's like, they're looking at me the way we look at people that don't speak English here, you know, like you must be kind of an idiot. It was just absolutely, so anyway, long story short, it ended up being about 300 or 250 euros, I think. Got my keys back and that was it. Like, that was the end of the story. And then I picked up my friend. We went to dinner.
Kind of anticlimactic.
Sort of anticlimactic. And then so I'm telling my friend when I pick her up, she's like, what? Like, why didn't you tell me? I was wondering where you were. Like, oh yeah, I just, my car got towed and I went and picked it up and sprayed some deodorant under my armpits and that was it. Like,
and that was the end.
That was that. A little bit of perfume on my self and moved on with my day. I know.
Yeah.
Could have freaked out.
Right. When there's like real potential like that in a foreign, you know, I remember my husband and I both kind of struggling in Peru a little bit, like friggin' Ormeño, it was a bus line and it broke down just in the middle of God knows where.
Ormeño.
Well, my friends went several months later and the same thing happened to them. They were stranded.
Oh, no.
So I don't even know if it exists anymore, but you know,
they just got rid of it
a few
completely.
Years ago. Yeah, a few years ago, friggin' Ormeño. And you know, it was kind of inherently stressful for both my husband and I being like stranded and like not being able to communicate with locals and,
yeah,
you know, my husband knew like minimal Spanish and it's a very vulnerable, there's a lot of potential to get caught up in fear.
Oh, yeah.
In that situation, because it's a pretty vulnerable situation to be in.
It's not fun. I mean, there's there's nothing scarier for me. No, that's dramatic to say. There's a lot of things that are scary, but it was very kind of daunting to like realize like, I am absolutely stranded here. I'm stranded. Yeah. No one understands me. I'm out of data on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, I need like Wi-Fi. No, I can't even, I don't even know how to ask for Wi-Fi. I know how to ask now, but, it wasn't lost on me how significant the situation could have been or what it was, but
you just happened to be sort particularly present
to deal with it.
Yeah. Particularly well, present to deal with it.
Yeah. You just sort of, when things, we've talked about this when, things sort of hit the fan.
Yep.
Sometimes it's overwhelming and sometimes you just sort of show up and it doesn't mean that it's fun, but you just sort of, you're there, which leads us to your story, which is significantly more serious than mine.
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad we're doing this topic because I had a very recent, as of this week, experience to share.
Yeah, so, this is timely.
Yeah, it's timely and, you know, yeah. You know, it's particularly relatable. So as we all know, I am pregnant with twins. and recently I was diagnosed with a prenatal complication called preeclampsia. So without getting into too much detail, it's a condition that requires close monitoring because as it progresses, it can be dangerous to mom. And luckily there is a cure for this condition and it's delivery. So it's a bit of a balancing act, you know, like,
I don't know. It's not funny at all, but I don't know why that makes me giggle. Like the cure is to get those babies out of you.
Get the babies.
That's the
babies.
The problem. I don't know if you know what the problem is. It's that you're pregnant.
Yeah. Well, it's it's not even the babies, you know, they're not doing anything. It's the placenta.
No,
at all.
It's placenta.
It's a condition that originates from the placenta for the nerds out there. Other people are probably like, gross, please stop saying placenta. But, you know, right. So the cure is delivery, which makes it a bit of a balancing act because at 30 weeks pregnant, we obviously want to keep the babies inside as long as we can, so long as, you know, it's safe and stable for mom. So,
yeah.
My local hospital can only deliver babies that are 34 weeks or older. So as my symptoms started to worsen around 29 and a half weeks, I was told that the protocol is to transfer me to a tertiary hospital like 2 hours away via ambulance.
Of course.
That can accommodate, you know, accommodate preemies this young. So that alone was scary enough. Being sick is scary enough, but I was also informed that Andy, my husband, couldn't be with me during the ambulance ride. And
I didn't know that part.
Yeah, he's
holy
not
cow.
Yeah, he wasn't allowed to be with me during the ambulance ride. And that I would also be on an IV medication that would supposedly make me feel horrible to prevent any neurological damage from the condition during the long transport. So it was
like my gosh. Worst thing.
Yeah. As I've said before in the podcast, it's really a minor miracle I graduated from grad school for nursing because I don't like hospitals or needles. Or I've always been that way. Or blood and guts, you know. We all have our own things, our own fears, and mine have always been centered on, you know, having health issues and ooey gooey stuff like that. So this idea of legitimately being sick, taking an ambulance ride in a semi-emergency situation to a hospital far from home while on drugs that required close monitoring to make sure my breathing didn't stop, you know, all the while, minor detail, you know, oh my gosh, they were checking me like every 10 minutes. It was insane.
Oh my gosh.
All the while without Andy's support sounded absolutely horrifying. Like my own personal nightmare. Like hearing that was the road ahead just felt.
Literally.
You know, yeah. I mean, I imagine some people listening right now are like, nope, this is horrible. I can't even right now. I don't even want to hear this. It's making me sweaty. I don't even want to listen to this episode. And let me assure you.
She's okay, everybody. She's okay.
Yeah. But let me assure you, I felt the same way. Like, nope, nope, I'm not doing this. Like,
oh my God.
Like, absolutely not. There is no way.
Kelly, when you texted me and told me that you were, I knew you had to go in an ambulance and I knew where you were going. And you were like, when you told me what was happening, I was like, oh no, no, nope, yeah. She's not going to be okay. I mean, I knew you were going to be okay, but that's.
Here's the kicker, right? Like, because we're sharing moments we thought we would just lose it, and
yeah.
And we didn't. And really, I didn't freak out in the midst of what legitimately should have been the scariest moment of my life based on
like
my own fears.
Like, objectively freak out, like anybody would.
Especially based on my own fears. Like, you know, health things, like being sick. I'm a little bit of a health nut. I don't even take Tylenol, you know, and I eat organic and I exercise. And the idea of being unhealthy or being limited is like, you know, some of us, none of us like that. We all fear it to different degrees. But for me, that's always been very sticky, you know? Yeah. So I really thought that I just could not. And honestly, it wasn't that bad. Like, I had a really awesome time with the nurse who rode with me in the ambulance ride. Yeah, she was wonderful. And the drugs that they gave me weren't actually that bad. Like, they made me a little bit loopy, but that was the worst of it. And
that's the one where everybody was like warning you. Like,
everybody was like,
drug.
This is horrible. You're going to hate it. Like,
why do they do that?
And I don't know, but I mean, it allowed me to create quite a picture in my head. And maybe because the picture was so daunting, it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it would be.
Okay.
I don't know. It's honestly, as the ambulance was leaving, I just yelled, "Bye, Andy, Brittany, the nurse, and I are going to party it up. She's got the antidote to the drugs I'm on, so we're good. See you in 2 hours." And I'm just waving goodbye. And, you know, Brittany and I did party up. We partied it up. We had a fun time. We chatted, we laughed, and we actually had a really good time. And,
Brittany, if you're listening, because you have serious anxiety issues, which I hope you don't, thank you for taking care of our girl.
Oh, Brittany was amazing. I couldn't have had I was very lucky to have her there. So it really was, I just laughed. I didn't freak out the whole time. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. I, as you already know, Erica, I spent a week in the hospital and was deemed stable enough to kind of come home for now with really close outpatient monitoring. So I don't want people to get me wrong.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's nice to be home. There were parts of this experience that, like, flat out sucked. No sugarcoating it. Like, flat out sucked. I don't want to sugarcoat it. There were tears and fears for myself and my twins. Uh-huh. But I wasn't a shaky, sweaty pile of anxiety for the whole week in the hospital like I always assumed I would be. I thought I just could not. Like,
the assumption.
One of my worst nightmares is like, God, I hope I never have to sleep over in a hospital, you know? And
and you've said on the show before, like, a clinical setting is not your favorite place to be. You don't like going to get blood drawn. You don't like going to the doctor.
And they were doing it every few hours, you know? It's like, it really was my own personal nightmare. And I was surprised because there were moments of laughter with some pretty amazing people. There was relief. There were moments I felt strength. And funny enough, some of the most authentic moments of gratitude that I've ever felt. Like, often gratitude's a little forced for me sometimes. Like, like, okay, let's focus on, and maybe I've cultivated it a little bit because it came, you know, there was moments of overwhelming gratitude for some really amazing people and the support of Andy and people that were just really cared what was going on. And a woman, we were in the cafeteria New Year's Day. She was a volunteer and she just paid for our lunch and said, "Happy New Year."
Stop.
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
I can't. I love this story.
And I cried after. I was a little emotional.
That's also like, the placenta's problem.
I know. I was like, thank you. I'll pass it on.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah. And it's
first of all, I didn't know people volunteered at hospitals.
Yeah.
I did know that. What am I talking about? Of course I knew that. But that makes me want to go do something.
Right?
I won't. But
I thought she was like paying. And I was like, oh, wait, you're paying for us. Hang on. And she's like, no, I know. Happy New Year. And I was like, oh.
Oh, love her. Yeah. What's her name?
I don't know. I should have asked.
Mabel.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Yeah.
She was so kind. And that nurse, Brittany, and just my doctor who calls me every day. There were so many moments of authentic gratitude, like, that I'm not used to feeling, or like kind of got lost with grief in the last 2 years. Like, I hadn't, gratitude had felt forced for me for a little while. And so,
Well, understandably.
Yeah. I just thought it would be so different. I thought I would just be a jumble of shaky, nerves the whole time. I thought right. I would just, and I slept actually like pretty good. Like, you know,
that's impressive.
It was very surprising. You know,
some really hard stuff too. I mean, this is like,
I mean, it is still hard. It was definitely a lesson in letting go. It's like a big old lesson in letting go of control, which is never a lesson easily learned. It's never pretty
that you like actually see that you've learned a lesson. It's never in the moment when it comes to that kind of stuff. But,
and I can see the value in this challenge now, but I'm like really excited that there's an end date to all this.
Yeah.
I deliver January 29th at the latest. So
come hell or high water.
Come hell or high water. So, there's that.
Yeah. Wow, man.
And okay. I'll tell you what, I mean, I still have moments of fear about how the next few weeks are going to play out. You know, there's still moments of fear. Like, am I going to get sicker? What's that going to look like? You know, how am I going to deliver? There's so many unknowns and what ifs still. But on the plus side, I am not going to think twice about going to my yearly physical and getting routine blood work done. That feels super easy and doable now.
if all of this needed to happen for that result, then cool.
I'm totally cool with going to get routine blood work. Like, it won't even blink an eye now. It's funny how fear is all relative. It really shifts.
Seriously. I think it's worth reminding people that this kind of stuff would be daunting and scary for anyone. This has nothing to do with, it has everything to do with anxiety, and that's what we're talking about it. But this would be someone who doesn't traditionally suffer, air quotes, from anxiety related issues would also be daunted by this.
Yeah.
So I think that's, I don't know.
There were other women on the floor actually. And, a lot of them were in a really rough, like, headspace. And it kind of made me realize, you know, this is hard for anyone. Like, this is really hard for anyone, and we're all doing the best that we can. And,
you know how we hear people say, like, I can't do this because I have anxiety. No, this would be hard for anybody.
Yeah.
And you can do anything with anxiety, including but not limited to what you're going through right now. You can do it. You can do it. It sucks.
Yeah. It's not fun. I'm really glad it's going to be over in a couple of weeks. Like,
yeah.
I'm really glad. That will be amazing. I'm looking forward to the day. But it was just surprising. You know, I was still able to thank everybody. Like, I didn't cease to, I didn't just stop functioning from anxiety. And that was a really pleasant surprise. Cause we all have our fears, whether it's whether we're struggling with anxiety or not, we all have our stuff where we're like, no, please don't put me in that situation. I'll never be able to do that. Like, I can't handle that. And all I want to say is that's how I felt about all this. Like, no joke, for forever, even before anxiety, like, nope, don't want to be there. No, thank you. Like, no patience for being sick. Like,
oh, you're the worst when you're sick. I mean, listen, you're the love of my life. But when you're sick, you're like, because you're not patient with yourself.
No. It's been like 8 hours on a cold, and I'm like, is it on the upturn yet?
I ate an orange. Am I better yet?
I had like 3 oranges and vitamin, whatever that, what's that one? Emergency, you know? And am I better? I should be good now. No patience.
You,
for that business.
And of course this is your pregnancy. Like, of course, it's like the universe needs to show you that you can get through stuff. I don't know why, but
yep. And it's a lesson. And I think a lot of people out there that struggle with health anxiety know that a big component of it is kind of losing trust in our ability and losing trust in its resiliency. And, for better or worse, my body's showing me, you know, we're doing it. Like, anemic, you have preeclampsia, you have a cold, and we're doing it. We're doing it.
All of the things in your life, yeah.
And, you know,
and you're doing it. You are. Like, you're just showing up and waking up the next day. That's it.
Yeah, and it's not 100% horrible all the time. And part of the reason I wanted to actually share this experience is because someone wrote in a question about how do I deal with health anxiety when I actually have something medically wrong? So this is just a little bit of a prelude to that topic. We'll cover that like next week or the week after. But
cool.
I just thought it was kind of a good prelude to that because it's a common question that I get. And now I can kind of speak to it in a way that I could not have before.
Yep. You had kind of mentioned before with Hashimoto's and, like, you know, when you find out some news that you weren't too excited about, but this is different.
Yeah.
It's very acute.
Yeah. Super fun.
Yeah. You're having a great time. Happy holidays.
I'm probably scaring people off pregnancy. This is, I'll tell you, most people I interact with they have a great pregnancy. So,
yeah,
you know, don't let me sensitize or scare you. But all I will say is I felt very sensitized at hearing the stuff that I'm sharing now too. Like, no, please. No, God, no.
No. Don't say it. Don't say it.
Don't even say it. I'm not doing that. And it looked so different than I thought it would.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, you're doing it, girl. Way to show up.
Yep. We're both showing up. And so if other people are showing up, email us. Let us know. I'm on pretty strict bed rest and maternity leave has started for me. So if people want to email and share.
Please email her. Give her something to do.
If you want to email and share about how you're showing up or even those moments where you thought that you didn't have it, that you just could not. Because sometimes they're really small victories, even like driving to the grocery store and people don't really understand, like, you're like, yes, I drove to the grocery store and it felt semi-normal. And people are like, okay. So we understand that. If you want to share, you know, those moments, we love to hear them. We love to hear them. Really.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for more resources like one-on-one coaching, courses, or have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a free ebook there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.